Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Jesse, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, I want to ask you, because you are the arbiter often on this show after Jeff and I have had a debate. What do you think of the Rob Manfred idea of using a hitter in a key spot one time a game?
I feel like I cheated on the test because I think I know your feelings on this based off of Twitter. I will just say my personal opinion on this is that I guess I'm old enough to be a traditionalist and think that it's sort of ridiculous, and I would not be in favor of it. I will say this, though, that I've heard like a podcast from other NBA GMs where what makes some of those games really exciting, and what you can talk about football too as well, which is like game point, game on the line, you know the ball's going to LeBron or Joel Embiid or whoever, and you get to see superstar versus superstar. It's a little less like that in baseball, but then again, when those moments do pop up, I think it's even more special, like we saw in Game 1 of the World Series this year and the Grand Slam. So very much not in favor, but it does seem to me sometimes like these are just ploys to get us to talk about baseball in December, and what do you know, it might be working.
Could be. All right, let's get to the Chiefs, because they are I've never seen a season like this where every game is a live wire act. Here they are. They're destined. It looks like they could very well be the number one seed, although Buffalo is going to have something to say about that in the AFC. How good is this Chiefs team?
It's a really good question. Not that good the last couple of weeks. I feel like two realities can be true at once, right? Like, if you were just power ranking the teams, and then I remember becoming on your show and saying this a few weeks back, where it's like, hey, the Lions are probably better than the Chiefs right now, but the Chiefs have the better record. It's probably the number of teams that can legitimately claim to be better than the Chiefs has probably grown since then. You know, they're probably the fourth or fifth or sixth best team in the NFL. But if you could place me in the place of one team to try to win a Super Bowl this year, I'd still take the Chiefs, because, as you said, Bob, you know, they've got a chance of the one seed. They have, you know, the inside track to that if they can continue winning, however they keep doing it. They've got that future Hall of Fame head coach. They've got Patrick Mahomes. And, oh, by the way, all this happened last year. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't know what they were doing on Christmas when they lost to the Raiders last year. And they just sort of have shown an ability to turn this thing on when they need to. And so, I mean, especially if they get the one seed, especially if they get the bye, especially if they make it the Arrowhead Invitational again for the AFC Championship game, I like their chances as good as anybody in the NFL still. So I think we need to kind of label our lucky here, you know what I mean, or label our disappointing, because what's disappointing is if you're the 49ers and you had Super Bowl aspirations and now you're almost out of the playoff race. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're disappointed and the team is still 11-1 and there's everything in front of you. You can still be disappointed in the result and feel like they're not the best team in football, because they're not, but they're still in a great position moving forward. And like I said, the history, even from last January and February, tells us that this team has an ability to turn on when it matters. So I guess I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth here, but how good are they right now? I don't know that they're that good. I mean, good. They're a good NFL team, obviously. They're top five. But are they one, two, or three? Probably not at this moment, because they've got some things to clean up and fix and figure out. And that's basically on every side of the ball you want to look at. Offense, defense, special teams, all of them have questions coming out of this Raiders game.
Yeah, you said they have an ability to turn it on when it matters. And obviously for seeding, there's home field stuff. But how much do these last five games matter to the Chiefs? We know they can go on the road and win in the playoffs. We know they can win three games in the playoffs. We know that they can do all that. So do any of these games actually matter? Do we need to see that quote-unquote turning on when things matter to have a different feeling about the Chiefs going into the postseason?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's required, because the Chiefs were a little bit limping down the stretch last year and they ended up winning a Super Bowl, so it's possible. I still think there's quite a bit on the line. You know, the Chiefs had an early bye this year, and Chris Jones kind of even talked to this after the last game against the Raiders, kind of petitioning the NFL to say, hey, if you're going to have a team like the Chiefs play three games in 11 days coming up, he would prefer to have a bye later in the season rather than one early that doesn't do him much good. I think you saw last year when the Chiefs were able to sit some players for that Chargers game, it kind of rejuvenated them for the playoffs, especially a guy you're looking at like Travis Kelce, who did not have his legs under him in the final few weeks of the regular season, and then all of a sudden the playoffs was running as fast as he's ever run in his career. I do think the bye week for this Chiefs team would be a huge deal. And it gives you another game you don't have to play. You know what I mean? Like, right now, would you feel like super duper confident in the Chiefs playing the Broncos at home in an opening round playoff game, 2-7? I mean, I don't think you should, right? Like, the Broncos were a non-block kick away from beating the Chiefs Arrowhead a couple weeks ago, you know? So I think these games do matter. As far as the turn-on, turn-off thing, I don't think that the Chiefs are necessarily coasting or believing that they just have, you know, this magic elixir. And I know Patrick Mahomes, for one, was really frustrated after the game with how the team performed. They set a high standard for themselves. But I do think there might be a sense of, you know, when you win these close games, like, for example, when you remember the Buffalo game, when the Chiefs had to have a touchdown late in that game, they did kind of turn it on, and they went like 8 or 9 plays down the field and scored a touchdown in like 2 minutes, and you're like, where's that offense been all year? But it sort of was like, oh, they got to do it now. So they did it. You know what I mean? So there might be a sense of that with this team where it's just like they've been good in clutch situations. They've been good in fourth quarters. They haven't been good at putting any team away, but they do know how to rise to the occasion. And so that might be a game-to-game thing, but I actually think there is a lot on the line here these last few weeks for the Chiefs because I right now I think they're vulnerable. And getting that bye and getting all those home games for a team that is vulnerable – and maybe not as good as some of the teams they've had in the past, I think that's a big deal. Any of those little margins that you can add up in your favor, you know, could be the difference come playoff time, especially in this season when you're going for a three-peat.
And Buffalo has an easier remaining schedule than the Chiefs, for sure. So we'll see. Jesse Newell, our guest from the Kansas City Star. How important is it? I don't know what they can do about their offensive line at this stage of the season. It's been an issue. Is there anything they can do? What schemes can they change? I like it when Mahomes gets out of the pocket and he's done more of that. What can they do to take a little pressure off what is a little bit of a faulty offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, this is the break glass case of emergency. You're probably going to see a new starting left tackle this week. It's going to be DJ Humphreys, the former Arizona Cardinals left tackle who signed with the team about 2 weeks ago, and there's just no other option, guys. I mean, they signed this guy because they kind of figured maybe there was going to be an issue with the depth there, and when Mahomes kind of had his little outburst after, you know, Wanya Morris gave up another sack at the end of that game in the fourth quarter right around the left side or around the left tackle where he was sacked in less than 2.5 seconds, that was it for Wanya, and it's probably it for the season if, you know, DJ Humphreys can come in and just be, I mean, literally, just be a below-average left tackle. That's what they need right there. I mean, here's the problem with offensive line. When you're talking about, you know, the Chiefs, I don't think their offensive line is below average. I think it's well above average. But we call this a weak link system, which means there's only one link in the chain that has to be broken for this whole chain to be bust through. You know what I mean? So I think Joe Tooney at left guard is really good. And I think that Creed Humphrey at center is really good. And I think that Trey Smith at right guard is really good. He's going to get up many, many millions of dollars this offseason. And I think Juwan Taylor, when it comes to pass blocking and when he can avoid penalties, is pretty good at just the blocking part of this. But all that doesn't matter if Patrick Mahomes is getting sacked in less than 2.5 seconds because his left tackle can't touch an edge rusher coming off the edge who was cut by the Carolina Panthers in the preseason this year. You know what I mean? So they got to figure out left tackle. They have to get an option there who just does not completely whiff on guys. And so that's why you're going to see a guy who probably doesn't know the playbook, doesn't really know what he's doing in Kansas City yet, is still gaining his bearings, and is coming off a torn ACL. He's the next man up in line, and I just don't think they have another option. So expect DJ Humphreys to start a left tackle for the Chiefs coming up here Sunday Night Football, and if he can be below average for NFL standards, he will continue to be the left tackle, and he will be an upgrade over what the Chiefs have had hit there over the past few weeks.
So they got the Chargers coming up. They've got Denver to close the season. I'm just curious, do you think, how interesting do you think the division is now, especially with the new elements that those teams have? A rookie quarterback in Denver, Sean Payton, second year coach, obviously Jim Harbaugh in Los Angeles. How interesting is that? How much of a different and new kind of challenge do those teams present to the Chiefs, and is that something that could revitalize them in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I think this shows you what great coaching can do, right? Like, the Broncos bought themselves out of one of the worst contracts in NFL history, or so they thought, with Russell Wilson, and they're still competitive this year. You know, like, they are operating with one arm behind their back because they knew they had to get out of that deal, and they did, and they're still good. You know what I mean? That also makes this game kind of, you know, I don't want to put too much on this game for the Chiefs, but like, those teams aren't looming too far back in the division. If the Chiefs win this game, they win the AFC West, and you can lock that up. You've already locked up your playoff spot, but you can lock up the AFC West. You don't have to worry about it. Bob, as you said, you know, they've got a schedule coming up here that gets difficult because they got, you know, the Raiders and the Panthers out of the way, even though you thought those were going to be two really easy teams. But it does kind of get a little bit tougher as the time goes on here. So if they can win this game, again, however they do it, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, pick your poison, because that's how the Chiefs win every single game, that would be a big deal, just to go ahead and lock up that division. But to your point, I mean, this is what really good coaches do. I mean, you know, John Harbaugh walks in, and Jim Harbaugh walks in, I mean, and the Chargers, immediately go from a team that seemed like they're always cursed to a team that is always winning these close games and just have a functional leader in charge and people who want to play for him. And all of a sudden that filters down and it's really good. And Sean Payton, future Hall of Fame coach, I would assume, comes in and, again, operating with very tough salary cap restrictions, they're winning games. And so the Raiders are a mess, and that is helpful for the Chiefs to be able to move forward. But the AFC West is going to be competitive the next few years, and I think the Chiefs probably, you know, would do well for themselves to go ahead and lock this thing up this week and not have this thing be looming over their heads here coming up when the schedule toughens up here over the last few weeks.
Final question for Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. We saw the return of Isaiah Pacheco. He was not the Isaiah Pacheco we think he will be. When will he be that? How much rust did he need to get off? And when can the Chiefs and their fan base expect Pacheco to kind of become that one, number one running back we all know he is?
Yeah, I think you'll see it this week. I know the Chargers have a tough defense, and they're sort of trying to ease him back in. And listen, part of this is strategic for the Chiefs because they do have a playoff spot locked up, and you want him to be fresh at the right point in the season. But we saw it in the year. Pacheco, they were throwing the ball to him. And, you know, I would ask you guys, I've asked this of our guys at the Star sports staff too, who is the best yards after catch option for the Chiefs right now? Like, you throw him the ball and you feel good about him gaining some yards after the catch. It's really tough to find anybody, right? Like, it's not Kelsey, not Noah Gray, it's not DeAndre Hopkins, it's not Juju Smith-Schuster. Maybe that's your answer, but I think that's why they use Pacheco out of the pass game a little bit more, is he's got speed and, you know, he's able to do a little bit more of that than he has in years past, has worked on that part of his game. And then the run game, you know, the Chiefs had it non-existent last week. Andy Reid said that the Raiders brought an extra man, so it kind of forced them to pass the ball more. So I think in different matchups, the Chiefs are still a really good run-blocking team, guard to guard, and can be able to have that, and that should give Pacheco some openings and have him utilize his speed like he did for that one, you know, 34-yard run when he was back last week against the Raiders. So I'd expect more out of him this week. I expect more out of him the rest of the season, and I think, frankly, they need him because this team, when Hollywood Brown went out and when he went out, they went to from a fast team to a not fast team very quickly. So I think if they get back to utilizing him a little bit more, the offense will operate a little bit better, and they'll see more openings than they have in games past. And so I think it'll be a big thing in the offense, and wouldn't be too worried about that opening start being a little bit slow. But, yeah, it would be good to get him going back again because he does add an element, especially in the backfield, they don't have before.
All right, the Chiefs at home Sunday night to face the Chargers. Jesse Newell has been our guest. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.